Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, chapter 18 is where I'm going to actually end up. I'll start a little bit before. Let's begin by considering a little history. Before we come to the passage I'd like to deal with, 1 Kings chapter 16, beginning in verse 29, the scripture declares there was an evil king. His name was Ahab. 1 Kings 16, 29, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that was before him. It came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Well, God raised up a prophet and sent this prophet to give this evil king a message. Chapter 17, verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And for the sake of time, I'll just tell you what happened. The Lord preserved Elijah, sent him out, fed him with ravens, protected him, didn't rain. After a while, he was drinking out of the brook. The brook dried up. The Lord sent him and raised up a widow woman to preserve him. And remember the story, he went and talked to this widow woman, and he said, "Make me a little cake." And she said, "Well, I just got a little bit of oil and some flour." And she said, "I'm going to find me a couple of sticks, and I'm going to just cook this for me and my son, and we're going to die." And he said, "Well, you make me one first." And wasn't being insensitive to her, but the Lord, because this woman gave her faith to believe that God was going to preserve her, and he did, preserved her. And then the Lord, in time, after the time appointed, he caused Elijah to cross paths again with Ahab. We pick up now in chapter 18 and verse 17. It came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" You know, this is that's the attitude right there of every false religionist concerning God's preachers. You're the troublemaker. You're the one that's starting all this. You're the one that preaches that gospel that's so narrow. You just you and a few, and that just, you know, are you the one that troubleth Israel? And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450. Prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Had about 850 prophets on payroll. And, you know, Elijah told him, he said, I'm not the one causing trouble. He said, you are. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to find out who's right. And then Elijah, in verse 21 of chapter 18, challenged the people of Israel for their waywardness and their inconsistency. Now listen, they have been sitting, they're in this kingdom of Ahab, and he's raised up this altar to Baal, a false god. And it's politically correct now to worship this God. And there's been no preaching of the gospel. They haven't heard anything. And they're just fearful. And he gives them this challenge. Chapter 18, verse 21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Now this is a very searching exhortation. How long halt ye between two opinions? Why do you walk so lamely, is what he was saying. Why are you acting like a little bird that just jumped from this limb? Is God Almighty sovereign or not? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I need to hear this. I need to hear this. Is God God or is he not God? Is salvation by God's will or by man's will? Now, I'm here again. Somebody said, well, you don't need to ask a believer that. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. I know the answer that a believer is going to give. But I can tell you this. That's a good answer. That's a good question. Is God Almighty God? Did Christ die to make salvation possible for all men, or did he die to redeem his sheep? Did he save his people? Now, how long halt ye between two opinions? Now, I've got two men in me. And I'm going to tell you something. They don't think the same. They don't think the same. I got one that believes that man is God. And you that know him do too. And then there's another one in there that knows God is God. And I'll tell you, what we need is we need a consistency in the hearing of the gospel. Paul said, for me to say the same things to you is not grievous. You know, I think sometime I'll be preaching and I'll think to myself, this is what I said last week. This is the same thing I said last week. But you know the amazing thing about that? Believer hears it like you've heard it for the first time. You think, that was so good. Is the gospel of God's free grace in Christ? Is the gospel the power of God unto salvation? Or does the Holy Spirit just bless any message? I believe God could... I believe God could save somebody under, just a free will message. I believe he could. Well, let me say it like this. He said he didn't. He said he would not. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Elijah came to all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. The people answered him, not a word. Not a word. And after Elijah challenged the people of Israel, then he challenged and he mocked the gods of the false prophets. Now listen to this, 18 verses 25 to 29. Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for your many, and call on the name of your gods, and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, they dressed it, called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. They leaped upon the altar which was made. It came to pass at noon, Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking or he's pursuing. Maybe he's got some other interests. Maybe he don't have time for you. Or he's in a journey. Or peradventure he sleepeth, must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, they prophesied to the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any to answer, or any that regard it. You know, I do not, under any circumstances, want to be unnecessarily hard or cruel or mean. I don't. But I can tell you this. Elijah was God's prophet. And he challenged God's people. They'd become lax, like the church at Laodicea. And he asked him, he said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to just jump around? How long are you going to be, you know, just lazy? If God's God, then you worship him. If Baal is God, then you worship him. And he mocked the prophets of Baal. He mocked the hired hands of Ahab and Jezebel. Like I said, I'm not trying to be unnecessarily insensitive, but as I said before, a false prophet, one that does not preach the gospel of God's free grace, one that does not set forth the sovereignty of Almighty God, he is not called of God. He is a liar. And Elijah mocked them. And based on the mocking of this man right here that God had called, I'm not gonna give them the time of day either. They're liars. They make merchandise of men's souls. And they cut themselves and jumped up and down and tried to make a drum up something, had a big Pentecostal revival. But after all of their silliness and fleshly attempts to work up something emotional, nothing came. And Elijah then prepared the altar of God. Verse 30 to 35. And I was so, as I read this, I thought to myself, just when we read this, think on this. He wasn't in a hurry. Wasn't emotional. He wasn't trying to. He was just calmly believing God. He knew that Almighty God was God. And he was going to do as he was pleased. And the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. And here's what happened. Verse 30. Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. I read that and I think to myself, how tender. How tender. He loved them. That was the Lord's people. Come here. Come here. Come close. And all the people came near unto him. He wanted them to see. I want you to see what's about to happen. I want you to witness this. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Let me tell you this. The altar that is broken down is where the gospel's not been preached and inconsistent. I thank God that God Almighty has allowed the gospel to be here. Allowed the truth of God's sovereign grace to be here over these 60 years. As I've said before, I don't know how long. I don't know how long. I don't know how long he'll leave me here. Will he send another preacher? I don't know. I don't know. But we have today. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years. Baal worship had been all over the place. It's come to this. God in mercy has sent this preacher. And he came, the scripture says, he took those 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. According to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. Unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order. He cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. They did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. They did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Now, it hasn't rained in 3.5 years. Water would be a premium. They took 12 barrels of something that was so precious that I dare say it was worth its weight in gold. If you don't have anything to drink and there's no rain, water is a precious thing. But he said, I want you to take 12 barrels of water and you pour it on that sacrifice right there. Elijah believed God. God's going to answer. The Lord's going to provide. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. They took that precious water and they poured it on top of that altar, and that bull filled up that trench, and all that wood and everything soaking wet. And the scripture says, verse 36, it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Even the timing of this event was so ordered that it had an eye to the one all-sufficient and finished sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Time of the evening sacrifice, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, it says right here, came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Matthew 27:46 says, at about the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For a sinner to have any hope, Christ must be known as God's Lamb. To know Him is to trust Him. To love Him, to come to Him. And here was the time of the evening sacrifice, and all of this mockery and all of this silliness and all of that false Balaam worship, people had hurt for it, suffered for it. And Ahab raised up this altar. And Almighty God, who in mercy and grace and compassion sent a preacher. What if he wouldn't have sent a preacher? You see what I'm saying? What if he wouldn't have sent a preacher? What if he wouldn't have sent a prophet? He said, I'm going to send you pastors after my heart. They're going to teach you. Give you some understanding. God Almighty, when he's pleased to show mercy to a people, sends the gospel. He sends the gospel. He sends a preacher. And he sent this preacher, and this preacher challenged him. How long halt you between two opinions? And I can tell you this, those that knew him effectually, can you imagine how that just pierced their heart? Just, you know, been so silly. And Elijah took that water and poured all that water on that altar. I tell you another verse that comes to my mind often. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what's going to happen? All these things are going to be added unto you. You think they'd be the losers for pouring that precious water? And you know that Elijah did that at the command of the Spirit of God who prompted him to do that. He was led by God's Spirit, and God Almighty moved him, poured on there. Somebody'd say, well, that'd be a waste. Yeah, Judas said that one time. Remember that? Why was this not that precious ointment not sold? 300 pence, that's almost a year's wages. We could have gotten a year's wages and given it to the poor. He didn't care about the poor. Poured that precious water, put it on that altar right there. And the scriptures said he began to pray. Verse 30, it came to pass the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let me tell you who our God is. He's the God of mercy and compassion according to his everlasting covenant of grace to whomsoever he chooses to be merciful and compassionate. Before the foundation of the world, he is the triune God engaged with himself concerning the salvation of his elect, his church, his body, the body of his precious son. And I'll tell you this, according to this God that Elijah was praying to, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, he formed and settled according to the counsel of peace for his people, for his elect, for the bride of Christ. All of this was settled before the world began. Let me show you that. Hold your place right there in 1 Kings 18. Turn to Titus 1. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. How long has this been settled? This thing of salvation, I realize it comes to pass in time, and that's when God Almighty is pleased to call his people out of darkness. When it pleased him, he reveals himself to his people. But let me ask you this. When was this thing of salvation established as far as Almighty God is concerned? Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Now let me ask you this. If Almighty God promises, what do you think is going to happen? The counsel of the Lord is going to stand. Who shall thwart His purpose? Look at 2 Timothy. Turn back to 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9. Well, let's just read 8 and 9. 1 Timothy 1. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 1. I said 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 and 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Elijah, back in 1 Kings 18, verse 36, as he prayed that 63-word prayer, 63-word. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, the Father who in electing grace chose a people from before the foundation of the world that they should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The Lord Jesus Christ, covenant God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and all like them, chosen in Christ, the elect. That's who the Son died for. He said, John 10:15, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for my people. When he died, he was dying for somebody. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Savior. You know why? He's going to save his people from their sins. How many are going to be in heaven for whom the Lord died? All of them. How many is going to be in hell for whom the Lord died? Nobody. John 6:37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The Father chose a people. The Son died for them, redeemed them. And the Holy Spirit in quickening grace calls them and regenerates them and keeps them, seals them. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. You know, this world thinks that God is one that can be bargained with. One that's trying to do something. One that's hoping somebody will give him their heart. And they say he wants to save you if you'll let him. Well, then he's not God then. Why don't you just pray to the ones that needs God? Why don't you just pray to them? If God's done all he can do, why don't you just pray to these people over here? Pray to them. They're the ones that's going to make the final decision, they say. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Numbers 14:18 says, the Lord is long-suffering and great and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. He God. Sin's going to be dealt with. God's going to deal with sin. He's going to deal with sin in His people. But He's done it in the Lord Jesus Christ. All that the Father gave him for them, he was made sin. And the Father dealt with him in absolute justice. That's why he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Elijah continued to pray, let it be known this day, thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant. and that I have done all these things at thy word. Now let me just say this. If we cannot back up what we're saying by the word of God, then we have no authority whatsoever to preach it. But if what we preach is what Almighty God has said, then let it be known this day that according to the gospel that we preach, according to this word right here, we're not like those that wrest, twist the scriptures and try to make them say something that they don't. When our Lord praying in His high priestly prayer, when He said, Father, I pray for them, that is those that You've given Me. I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for those that You've given Me. What did He mean? Well, let me just try to make it clear. He was praying for those that the Father had given Him in electing grace. Praying for them. Pray. I'm not praying for the world. Praying for those that You've given Me. Let it be known today that I am Thy servant. I've done all these things at Thy word. You know why we preach the gospel? The gospel of God's free grace, the message that declares God Almighty to be the originator of salvation, that Christ purchased it, paid the debt, that the Spirit of God applies it and effectually applies it. And all that God Almighty has everlastingly purposed to do, He does. You know why we preach that? Because the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Is it necessary to hear? Turn to Romans 10. Hold your place. Romans 10. Is it necessary? Man, I've heard people. I remember as a kid, growing up in South Louisiana. I remember hearing this statement. Well, I don't have to hear preaching. I can go out. I can do this. I can go fishing. I can go, and I can be just as near to God. At, you know, being out in the, you know, in nature. No, you can't. No, you cannot. Now listen, here's what. Romans 10, 13 to 15. How necessary is it to hear the preaching of the gospel? Whosoever, Romans 10, 13, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let me ask you this. Who is going to call on the name of the Lord? I'll tell you who it is. Those that gives a willing heart. In the day of His power, God's going to give him a willing heart. You leave a man to himself, he's not going to call. Why? Because he's dead. He's spiritually dead. They say, well, he can exercise his free will. He doesn't have a free will. He's dead. He's dead. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in Him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. It's necessary. It's necessary to hear the preaching of the gospel of God's grace. It pleased God through the preaching of the truth to save His people. It's by the mercy and grace of God that He'd send and bless the gospel of salvation to His people. And this gospel is His gospel. It's ours by His grace, but it's His by conception and accomplishment and by the application of it. Verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. You know, there's no greater comfort for a believer than to acknowledge the Lord to be the Lord, our help, and our security. I tell you, He turned us first by giving us a new heart. Ezekiel 36:26, He said, I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new heart. And He didn't wait Thanks be unto him. He didn't wait for me to do it, because I'd have never done it. But we never fail to need to be turned from the stumblings of this life. Can a believer stumble? Look at Luke. Hold on, please. Luke 22:31. Luke 22:31. Peter was a man that, according to the scriptures, after the Lord had risen, the Lord asked Peter, said, "Peter, you love me more than these?" Three times he asked him that. That third time Peter was grieved because he asked him. And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. But you look back and listen to these words." Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. "The Lord said unto Simon," and the Lord said, I'm sorry, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now, let me ask you this. You think Peter was a regenerated man? Yeah, he was regenerated. Well, what does it mean, though, when thou art converted? Look the word up. It means returned. When you're returned. Did Peter stumble? Did Peter deny the Lord three times? Did the Lord tell him that he was going to do that? Yeah. He said, "Peter, Satan hath desired to have you sift you as wheat. But now listen, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And knowing what you're going to do when you're returned, and I'll return you, strengthen the brethren." And let's remind each other, when we stumble, there's not a believer in this room this morning that won't admit how prone I am to do that. We sing that song, "Prone to Wander. Lord, I feel it. There's an old man in me that hates this gospel. And there's a new man in me that loves this gospel. And there's a fighting and a war that's going on. They're contrary one to the other. And when I see the frailty of this flesh and the stumblings, thanks be unto him. Lord, pray for me. Pray for me." Back in 1 Kings 18, I'll hurry. "Lord, let it be known thou hast turned their heart back again." They had to have been there first to get turned back again. "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench." That sacrifice right there was a glorious picture of what would in time take place. This was a picture right here, Neil, of the crucifixion. That bullet that was on there, that was a picture. That was a picture of the type of our Lord. And Elijah, God's prophet, he'd prayed that prayer, "Lord, oh, let these people, let it be known that you're God. Let it be known that you're the God of covenant, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Lord, let it be known I'm your servant. And I preach what I preached according to your word. Lord, let it be known that you're God. And that you have turned their hearts back. You, Lord, who promised you'd never leave them, never forsake them. You turned them back." And Almighty God answered. And the fire fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and dust and licked up the water in the trench. I tell you, there was a day coming when Almighty God, precious Son of God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was actually that sacrifice, and the fire fell on him in the stead of the people for whom he was dying. He was dying for somebody. And Almighty God spewed out his wrath and forsook his precious Son. According to the Lord's word, he did, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because I'm not going to forsake them. And you're going to suffer. And he laid down his life for the sheep. And Almighty God, in absolute justice and judgment, and where sin was found, he was made sin. I don't understand the depth of that, but Scripture said he hath made him sin, who knew no sin, precious, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the fire of God's wrath fell. But there was one big difference. In the type, the burnt sacrifice was consumed. But in the reality of his crucifixion, he consumed the wrath. He consumed the judgment. And now, based on his work, his finished work, he says finished, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, seeking justification before God according to the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit. Led, taught, that salvation's of the Lord. And the Scripture says in verse 39, I'll stop right here. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. This is, here's a confession of a settled heart. You want to hear what a believer says concerning salvation, concerning the providence, creation? You want to hear what a believer says? The Lord, He's God. He's God. The people saw it with the eyes of faith and fell on their faces in reverence of Him. When a believer sees Him, I tell you what they've seen also. They've seen something of themselves. You leave it to me and I'm gone. I have no hope. And they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. There is no God but the Lord. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.